with me. He left the old behind, went on up to heaven, and sat at the right hand on the throne of God, and told me, come on a little higher.
He's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Thank you. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, Acts chapter 5, we want to send a happy birthday out, a couple of happy birthdays. Sister Chris Corbin, her husband mentioned in deacon board meeting that she has a Bible study. I'm sorry. A birthday. Amen. And also Brother Lance Isom is celebrating his birthday. And amen. Acts chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. There is a word from the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for this preaching privilege, and God, we pray now that you would speak a word into the hearts and into the minds of your people. God, a word that will remind them that you are God and God all by yourself. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 5, verses 5 through 11. There you will find these words. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Amen. Thank you, ushers. I want to talk for just a few moments this morning from the subject, fatal flaws. Fatal flaws. Amen. Fatal flaws. How dangerous it is to hate what God loves and to love what God hates. It is really a fatal flaw to fall in love with things that have the potential to destroy our relationship with God, things that have the potential to destroy our fellowship with others, and things that have the potential to destroy the peace in our lives. This is what happened in the Ananias and Sapphira story. They were a couple who used a God-given blessing in a God-forbidden way. The root cause of their fall was a fatal flaw.
Ananias and Sapphira loved money and the praise of others more than they loved God. They set themselves against the Holy Ghost and resisted his powerful influence. And my brothers and sisters, once the love of money and the love of human praise takes possession of a person, he becomes open to all kinds of satanic influence. You will remember that the church of God in Acts was filled with the Holy Ghost, and it was filled with power, and it was experiencing tremendous growth and unity. The church was filled with demonstrations of genuine generosity and harmony. I told you a few weeks ago in Bible study that the church at its best was the church at its beginning. As a matter of fact, this new movement was on the lips of every person in the area. Everybody was talking about this new church and how they were on fire for God and how they were doing great and marvelous things. Even the Pharisees and Sadducees were impressed with the character and commitment of these ignorant and unlearned men. The church faced both internal and external problems. We saw some of that even in our Sunday school lesson. Externally, they were being persecuted constantly. However, internally, they were confronted with administrative problems and spiritual hypocrisy. What Satan had failed to accomplish through external persecution, he attempts to do through spiritual hypocrisy. And my brothers and sisters, hypocrisy in the church is still one of the main tools the devil uses to hinder the progress of the church. Most of the time, he uses the same fatal flaw, the love of money and the love of praise. I don't know about you, but I didn't come for anybody to pat me on my back today. I don't know about you, but I didn't come, amen, to get praises of men. I didn't come for anybody to bow down and worship me. I came to praise the Lord. Where are my praises at? Where are those of you who've come to worship a holy and righteous God on this day? The number one reason people give for not wanting to have anything to do with the church or with Christianity is hypocrisy. They say the church, and y'all have heard it, that the church is full of hypocrites. Amen. A man met someone one day after talking with him for a little while, he became convinced that the man he was listening to was a strange man. But not only was he a strange man, the man determined that he was a hypocrite. Because this is how the story goes. He said, "I met the strangest man the other day. This man said that he believes in the Bible, but he never reads it. The man said he thought well of the church of which he is a member, but he never attends. He said a man should be honest with God in money matters, but he never tithes. He said the younger generation needs the Lord, but he isn't interested in working with the youth. He said the church needs dedicated church members, but he isn't one. He said the church should do more ministering to people, but he doesn't help. He is critical of the church, of the way the church is run, but he never participates. He says prayer changes things, but he never prayed. He was a strange man indeed, and I dare you, I double dare you for some of you to check your own spiritual record. Just maybe, amen, there are some hypocrites in the church. Walk the walk. I tell your neighbor, I don't want to be a spiritual hypocrite. But I want to also inform you that some of us are hypocritical as it relates to our giving. There was a survey done, and this survey revealed some of the hypocrisy that exists in the church. This survey, amen, discovered that 29% of Christian adults believe that the Bible commands the tithe. 29%. 29 out of 100 believe that the Bible says you ought to tithe. See, we already got a problem if the rest, amen, what is the rest? What's that other number? 71%? If 71% don't even believe that the Bible says you ought to tithe, we already got a problem. And the survey found that where 29% of adults believe that the Bible says tithe, the survey found out that 17% of those adults claim that they tithe. 29% believe the Bible says tithe. Only 17% claim that they tithe. But when they checked the record further, they found that only 3% actually tithe. So you got a whole lot of stuff going on there. Because if 17% say they tithe, but the record shows that only 3% actually tithe, they got some problems. Amen. Because not only are they not tithing, there's some liars in there too. Can I get a witness today? It's like the story I heard about a dollar bill, and I know you've heard it, the dollar bill that met the $20 bill. The dollar bill said to the $20 bill, hey, where have you been? $20 bill said, I've been around. I've been vacationing in foreign countries. I just came back to the States for a little while. I went to a couple of baseball games and basketball games. I went to Dillard's and Macy's. $20 bill say, I've been having a good time. What you been up to, dollar bill? Dollar bill say, you know the same old stuff. Church, church, church. I have come by today, my brothers and sisters, to encourage us to not get caught up in the fatal flaw that Ananias and Sapphira got caught up in. See, God judges us a lot of times based upon, as a matter of fact, almost all of the time, he judges us based upon the intent of our heart. And that's why the Bible says that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Come on, we can talk some good stuff, can't we? We can make it look real good. We know how to say hallelujah and lift our hands, and we know when to stand up and we know when to say amen. But the Lord wants us to know that where the rubber meets the road is how you're handling your treasure. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I didn't expect a lot of amens this morning, but I'm going to preach it anyhow. I want to share with you three things from this text that ought to help us not to fall victim to fatal flaws. The first thing we find in this passage and that it teaches is that the Spirit-filled church will be tempted. I said the Spirit-filled church will be tempted because the Holy Ghost is no guarantee against trouble. Where are my folk that are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost? Still got to deal with trouble. Amen. Having the Holy Spirit is no guarantee against persecution. Come on. Come on. Where are my folk who will testify that, you know, I thought that when I gave my life to the Lord and I got on the Lord's side that everybody would like me. But how many of you can testify that since I've given my life to the Lord, I am persecuted now more than I used to? As a matter of fact, some of the folk who used to call me friend don't call me friend anymore. They call me some other stuff. All of our temptation comes from satanic influence. Peter acknowledged in verse 3 that Satan had filled Ananias' heart to lie. Jesus said that Satan is the father of lies. Satan tried before to put an end to the church by outside persecution. And when that didn't work, he tries destroying it from the inside. Satan still does this today. He'll use hypocrisy, amen, to get us messed up. So yes, the devil is a source of our temptation, but he's not the only source, because some of our temptation comes from self-centeredness. Satan and self. Satan and self. Don't sit there with your cute self, amen, and act like, amen, some stuff you get in, the devil ain't even put it on your mind. We were praying in the office there, the deacons and I, and I was just thanking God, amen, for how much I've grown. And I said to them, I said, I thank y'all for coming in to pray with this fat preacher. And one of them said, amen, God made you. And I said, but I helped him a whole lot. Self is a part of it. Amen. So we've got to deal with self-centeredness. We've got to deal with it, because hypocrisy will come in. The spirit-filled church will be tempted. Secondly, the temptation in a spirit-filled church stems from two sources, satanic influence and self-centeredness. But then finally, if we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, if we're not going to fall victim to fatal flaws, the spirit-filled church must grow in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. I said, if we're not going to fall victim to fatal flaws, the spirit-filled church must grow in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. You Bible readers know what happened in this account with Ananias and Sapphira, amen. They were asked to freely give, because the church at its best, at its beginning, was full of people who didn't mind selling everything they had and sharing it with other folk. But Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to impress everybody and make everybody think that they had done the same thing. But when the truth was told, amen, they didn't sell it all and give it all away. They kept some of it. And then they lied to the preacher about what they had done. And the Bible says immediately, first he fell dead. They drug him out of there and went and buried him. Then the wife came in, and Peter asked her the same question. Amen. And then she lied. And guess what happened to her? She fell dead too. And out of that, a healthy fear came over the church. You know, I hate to say it, but sometimes God has to wreak havoc in our lives and sometimes cause stuff to happen to us, even in the church, so that some other folk will wake up and say, God ain't playing. Tell your neighbor, God ain't playing, is he? He's not playing. Amen. He is real. God is real. He is as real today as he was then. And so they knew now more than ever that he wasn't just a loving God, but he's also a holy God. Even those that were outside of the church started fearing God. My brothers and sisters, I'm afraid that we live in a generation that believes they can come and go as they please, do whatever they want, do whatever they feel, and still be on their way to heaven anyhow. But I need to tell you that a godly Christian life requires us to give up the life of sin and walk in the fear of God. Many theologians refer to the greatness of the early church, and it was a great church. The Bible uses the word great in Acts 3 different ways, and it appears 4 times. It is said of this church, and I want it to be said of Pleasant Hill, number 1, that the church had great power. Oh, how many of you want Pleasant Hill to be a church with great power? I'm talking about the kind of church that people can come in sick and leave healed. I'm talking about the kind of church that people can come in broke and leave blessed. I'm talking about the kind of church that people can come in depressed and leave with a pep in their step and a glide in their stride and joy in their hearts and praises on their lips and gladness in their eyes. I want us to be a church of great power, but if we're going to be a church of great power, we've got to, amen, we've got to be careful not to get caught up in fatal flaws. But not only was it a church that had great power, it was a church that had great grace and favor. Pleasant Hill has been around for 116 years. 17 this year to be. Amen. And throughout that long time, God has been blessing us. I said God has been blessing us. But let me put in a warning. If we ever get beside ourselves, if we ever forget that without God we are nothing and without God we will fail, the same God that has graced us with his favor can cause us to fall. That's from the pastor, the rest of the pulpit, the deacons, the choir, and the pew. We all got to make sure, amen, that we live a life that is pleasing to God. Because not only is he a God of comfort, he's a God that is deserving of a healthy dose of fear. He wants us to walk right. He wants us to talk right. If you don't believe me, look at what the word says. Galatians chapter 5. Verses 19 through 21, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Come on, y'all getting quiet on me. Don't you want his power? Don't you want his favor? Don't you want his grace? Then we've got to clean up. Revelations chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Jesus says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I got one more. Revelations 21 and 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. My brothers and sisters, watch out for the fatal flaws of life. Watch out for the temptation to love money or selfish ambitions more than you love God. We must overcome Satan, the world, and the flesh. We've got to grow in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. But I close by telling you that there are some combinations that you got to keep together, such as comfort and fear, such as grace and truth. Comfort and grace without the balance of fear and truth leads to abuse and misuse. We serve a God who is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our praise because he is a God of comfort. He's a God of love and compassion. But he's also a God who is worthy to be worshipped. The Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And I'm just convinced that if you know him, you can't help but love him and fear him. I said, if you know him, you can't help but praise him and worship him if you know him. And maybe that's why some folk don't get excited when they come to church. Maybe that's why some people don't get excited when others are worshiping and praising God. Maybe it's because they don't know him. Because when you know him, you don't mind giving him praise. I said, when you know him, you don't mind putting your hands together and telling God, thank you. when you know him. And so I want to ask you this morning, do you know him? Do you know him today? The one that was born in poverty, yet wise men brought riches to his cradle. Do you know him? A helpless baby, yet he spoke worlds into existence and sustains the pillars of the universe with his word. Do you know him? The one who was cradled in somebody else's crib. The one who sailed in somebody else's boat. The one who ate at somebody else's house. The one who rode somebody else's horse. The one who was buried in somebody else's tomb. Do you know him today? I said that we ought to love him and we ought to fear him. We ought to worship him and we ought to praise him. If you know him, I remind you that he was the one who, as an infant, he frightened the king. As a boy, he confused the scholars. As a man, he made the angry storm be still. Do you know him today? He's Adam's redeemer. He's Abel's vindicator. He's Noah's ark. He's Abraham's sacrifice. He's Moses' bush on fire. He's Joshua's battle axe. He's Gideon's fleece. He's Samson's power. He's David's song. He's Solomon's wisdom. He's Jeremiah's balm in Gilead. He's Ezekiel's will in the middle of the will. He's Matthew's king. He's Mark's suffering servant. He's Luke's great physician. But I call him Jesus. I said, I call him Jesus. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Won't he give you joy in the place of sorrow? Won't he give you hope? Hope for tomorrow. I know he's all right. I know he's all right. Give him praise. Give him praise. If you love him, give him praise. If you fear him, give him praise. For all that he's done, for all that he is, everybody.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
KKKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi.